GOB 65. Black cap. There is something immensely charming about a black cap. Their jet black or red brown bonnet setting off the subtle grey throat and belly and washed out olive wings. It gives them a dapper and elegant look. This winter I think I provided the lifeline to some of these cuties. I'm not sure how many, as I saw two adult males at one time and a red cap. The most regular feeder was a male, but it's impossible to know if this was just one individual. He made numerous visits, and starlings permitting, stuffed his face for periods of up to 20 minutes. He got dubbed Fat Boy Slim, as he was single-minded in his consumption, and at times rooted to our diminutive cherry tree, his slender profile puffing up to keep out the cold when roosting. I'm lucky enough to live close to the beach, with coast on three and a bit sides. In Roman times it was an island, but now, after a former kilometre-wide channel, last navigated by sailing ship in the 18th century, is a tiny river an athlete could jump across. Being as far southeast as you can get without getting a French accent, we are blessed with a very mild climate, which means we get lots of birds overwintering that might not find a niche even a few miles inland. Firecrests and chiffchaffs are normal winter birds, and occasionally we host vagrants and stragglers. This may explain also the number of ringneck parakeets that we have, now several thousand roost, and we have even had double figures in our tiny yard, queuing on the washing line while we string up apples for them. So black caps have graced the garden before in just about any month, but have never hung around to feed. They've poked around my flower pots, and like a long-staying chiff-chaff managed to find a few mites and midges, but shunned the fat balls and seed feeders, and were not even tempted by the mealworms and suet scattered over our garage roof. What made the difference to them also led to a garden first, a bird that I'm hoping becomes a regular. An old friend was extolling the virtues of a fat-filled coconut shell, available on the cheap in the pound shop. He assured me that they were a firm garden favourite. I admit to some scepticism, as he is a careful man and not one to spend top dollar on bird feed. I, on the other hand, offer only top-class sunflower hearts and Niger, so thought these old coconuts, were superseded by the high-class fare I was tempting them with. Nevertheless, I decided to give them a go, and Mrs. Grumpy snuffled some of Asda's finest, other supermarkets' offerings are also available. In less than 24 hours, the great tits and blue tits were stuck in. Then the garden first took a look. A great spotted woodpecker landed on the shed roof, but was scared away by my shout of surprise. A week later he was not only back, but he was pounding the coconut's interior before flying off over the park. My better half managed to see him on his third visit, and we're still awaiting more appearances. Ever since then the blackcap found the shell, and a few days later he was back every day, and manages to show off everything other than starlings when he wants to perch on the cherry tree and eat his fill. Thinking about it, coconuts hung up for the birds goes back beyond my childhood. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that they've been in garden bird treats for a century or more. Doubtless they're still going strong in many non-birders' backyards, and are so familiar a source of nourishment that they are a magnet for birds that haven't really got the hang of our feeders. No doubt about it, oldies are still goodies. Here's a postscript. After visits every day for more than a month, it slowly dawned on me that there were at least two male black caps coming to the feeders, Fat Boy and Slim, whose white fringed wing feather marked him out as a second bird.